Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. You've heard Brother Pike say on a message. He was speaking and he heard this back in the 60s and 70s, and talking about these kids tripping on drugs. They said, man, I was tripping on LSD or tripping, And he said, you want to go on a trip? He goes, let me take you on a trip. A good old gospel trip, amen. He said, I'll take you to places, amen. Hallelujah. You get in Christ and he can take you to places, amen. We sing songs like I feel like traveling on, and people think, well, one day I'm going to lay this old body down. Amen. I'm going to lay this old body down and, man, I'm going to travel on with the Lord. But, we need to travel on today.
Amen.
Amen. We need to fellowship with him today. We need to be in heaven today. We need to dwell in heavenly places. Amen. And, as I say so oftentimes, sometimes we got people that are dwelling in hell. We
yes,
got
sir.
People that are dwelling in heaven. People get in a torment in their mind. You can have a man sitting on the front pew with you, one sitting right next to him. One of them be in heaven, another one be in hell. Tormented in his mind, just absolutely tore out of the frame, upset and things. I shared not long ago about a time I was at Bethlehem, and I just was in with Pastor Pike and many brethren. There might have been 20, 25 men down there. And man, he took us on a trip, Brother Ed. We got in board with him, and we launched out and went out of the atmosphere. Amen. Come on, I mean that. We went out of the relativity of this earth and the pulls of this earth and business and all the weights and burdens of whatever it is, and we just got caught away. And I come out of that meeting, and we were probably down there for 4 or 5 hours, man, talking about the beautiful things of God. I come out of there, and I'm heading across the church grounds, walking up to get in my car, and a brother come out from behind the building. He said, Brother Rob, and he was tore out of the frame. Man, it's the end of all things. Man, the church is over. Man, this is happening. And I'm like awestruck. This guy is looking at everything as no good and devastated. The church is coming to an end. The brotherhood's failing and all this. And I'm like, wow. I just left the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. And I'm caught away into an ecstasy of love and joy and peace and a sound mind. A peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'm thinking and all of a sudden I'm looking at this guy that's in hell.
Right.
Tormented, literally tormented. We're standing on the same, geologically, come on, man, we're on the same church grounds, in the same church, the same brotherhood, the same pastor. And this guy is absolutely, everything's failed, everything's gone, everything's over. And I'll tell you, God was showing me something right there. As Brother Pike made a statement one time, he said, you sum it all up in a nutshell, it's one thing. It's a state of mind. Amen? It's a state of mind. And you could be in a state of mind. Choose you this day, Brother John, who you're going to serve. You could serve God, or you can serve the devil.
Amen.
I choose the Lord. Amen? I choose God. I could believe his word, or I could believe a lie. Amen? And I choose to believe the Lord. I choose to believe his word.
Amen.
Somebody said, man, you're messed up. Well, pray for me. Maybe messed up, but I tell you what, I found Jesus in that mess somewhere. He found me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God for that. We want to prove ourselves so many times. We want to prove this and prove that. The Bible says, try the spirits if you have God. Yeah, so we can do that. Prove me, he says in his word. And we can. Brother, I mean to tell you, man, I've proved him. Brother,
sure.
I've been weak and he made me strong.
Yeah.
I've been sick, he made me well.
Yes.
Amen. I've been broken and it's like that Samaritan, he mended me, picked me up, set me on a rock to stay. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. We're serving a mighty God. We don't need to talk like him as like he's a distant hope. We don't need to talk about him like someday. The Bible says deferred hope, sickeneth the heart. And people always put their hope in Christ. We got to die first, which we do, but not the death they think. The only death I'll ever die, I've already died. The day
Amen.
That I take my last breath, the Lord Terry, something happens to me. If a rock falls out of the heavens, crushes me, you say, oh, man, that preacher died. Nah, I was crucified with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The only death I'm ever going to die, I died with Christ at Calvary. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And the day that I take my last breath, if the Lord tarries and I take my last breath, it's not death.
Amen.
It's sleep. Amen. Sons of God can't die. Amen. It's asleep. So, you know, talking in dimensional perspectives, you know, one person says they're dead. Another person said, no, they're asleep. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, one person, I'm a man. Another one says, well, I'm the bride of Christ. You know, dimensions. You know, one says the inner man. One says the outer man. One says the first heaven. One says the third heaven. One says the second heaven. Amen. What we have to do is find the mind of Revelation, the mind of Christ, the mind of God. You know, I was fellowshipping with Brother Bob and Brother Zach a little bit right before church. The thing is that many times people think in a certain mold. And you're limited. Brother is a man and me as a man. We're limited is how we think. Our thoughts are limited. Our expressions are limited. Everything's limited. Amen? Because it's in the mind of man. The mind of man can't expanse out there, but the mind of Christ can. The one that knows all things. Amen. Now, I want to be that one numbered that believeth all things. Amen.
Amen.
Charity believeth all things. Amen. Right. This is why I tell people when somebody's lying to me, it makes me feel sick. And the reason it makes me feel sick, Brother Edward, is because charity believeth all things. And they're lying to me, and I want to believe you so bad. But then yet there's something happening, and it makes me really feel terrible. I start, God, you know, I want to believe this person. And it hurts me. I mean, honestly, it hurts me when someone lies to me because I want to believe all things. Amen. You say, well, you're in the wrong dimension. Oh, I agree with you. And we got to be careful. We'd like to bring everything in to this one realm, and we'd love to. And this is why we have a fivefold ministry sent for the perfecting of the faith of the saints. Amen. That we can come see an eye to eye, not pierce each other through. Amen. As we use allegory example, I know we have you stand. We're going to pray and sit down right directly and talk about the things of God. Amen. And maybe say something. Some of the things I'll be putting here are very elementary or basic in revelational thoughts, foundations. Most of you have been through these things over the years at different times, you know, but still we stare up the pure mind, and sometimes something can click and you think, I've got this thing down. I got this thing down, but man, I don't. I'm still teaching and trying to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the children of God and the house of God. I thank you for the heavens. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word living and dwelling in each of us that profess to be the children of God. Father, I thank you that this word could grow and come alive, and we could transform our thinking and our minds and growing in your grace and knowledge, Lord God. Father, we could be as the Apostle Paul said, I come not with any superior wisdom or knowledge or eloquence of speech, but I come with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, as we understand that and we approach with that, but we also know the same man that said that pressed us to press in, to study, to show ourselves approved workmen who need not be ashamed, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and to understand the heights, depths, widths, and lengths, Father, of your word. And Father, me being the least of all, Father, I'm asking you to let us be led by your Spirit tonight, Father, and help us, Father, to bring a little insight or understanding or revelation. Father, knowing some will be tuned in by the way of phone and different things, won't have the visual aspect, but let them try to perceive and grab on, or possibly even make their own chart in front of them, trying to understand. Father, help us, lead us, direct us, and guide us in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody shallow in the scriptures, shallow in the word, shallow in God. Many times, and I've talked with ministers over the years and tried to fellowship with them. I had a minister call me and wanted to understand some things about the Godhead. And, man, I was reaching for him and trying, but I tried to sit down and talk with this man, and I could never make a connection with the Spirit. I tried and continued to try, and I couldn't make a connection. I could question myself, and that'd be the first place to go examine myself. And say, you know, what is the complication here? What is the problem? And, you know, the things of God have to be spiritually discerned and understood. Amen. You know, as the Apostle Paul himself made a statement, He said, I'd like to speak to you on the spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. And he went on to say, he said, the things I would like to teach you, you should be teaching them already. It was a reproof, wasn't it? You should be teaching these things, he said. I've had people that challenge me, and they even reprove me, possibly even rebuke me. And then when I go to them to bring a understanding or a revelation to them, and then they say, well, I'm just a baby. Well, wait a minute, you was rebuking a preacher 5 minutes ago because of your great understanding. And then when I confront you on it, then you want to play the baby card. And so, you know, which one is it? Are you the theologian that's challenging me, or are you the baby? You know, if it is, shut your mouth if you're the baby and let somebody help you and teach you. That might sound arrogant to you, but, you know, we have these ways of doing these kind of things. You know, as a, you know, being a counselor and a pastor and different things. You know, I've counseled many marriages over the years, all the time, counseling, trying to help men and women to perfect and to come into a greater relationship. Amen. And sometimes men and women live in the same house, but they're not together at all. They're so separated from one another in thinking and thought and mind, and they've never come to unity. We find, as we read in the scriptures on Sunday, you know, the thing is that where the Apostle Paul, again, he made a statement. He said, hey, I'm absent from you right now. You know, I'm not there in body or in flesh, but I'm with you in spirit, beholding your order, he said. You know, beholding the order of your church. And he wasn't even there, you know, so, but then yet he was there. Amen. You can have a man sit in this church. Oh, yeah, I'm with Christian Temple. But he could be as far from Christian Temple as light years away. And another man stumbling around a little bit, but he'd be right there with you and love the Lord. You know, so we're trying to comprehend. We're trying to understand. Amen. You know, I've spoke in time trying to get people to understand, because sometimes they take things so out of context. And they'll use it in many cases to confirm their error. They'll take something that isn't biblically correct, but they'll use a scripture out of context to, again, feel justified. You know, and I'll confess to you, I've done that before. I've gone to men, oh, you know, feeling like, well, you know, the Bible said the man of God's thoroughly equipped to reprove and to rebuke. Amen. So you go rebuke somebody because of a violation. And you say, well, bless God, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a pastor. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. And then you find some quiet time with the Lord, and he starts talking to you and corrects you. And you say, wow, even though I was following the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, I missed the spirit of the Word. If I would have been sensitive and listening, then he would have said, I want you to be silent before the slaughter. Go ahead and let them crucify you and love them. Amen. See, that's following the mind of the Lord. And following the mind of the Lord will always have confirmation in the written word. We could say Jesus, there was a time that he was silent to the slaughter. He was done wrongly, and he was silent. And there was other times, one time he took a whip, and it said he ran him right out of the synagogue, out of the church, didn't he? You know, did he deal with it that way every time? And sometimes, brethren, is dealing with a Christian, somebody professing Christianity, and even more so a minister when they claim to be a minister. When you profess to be part of the fivefold ministry, God has a whole different expectation of you than the one calling himself a baby. Amen? And you'll be held to a higher accountability. The Bible said, much given, much more required. Amen? So if we're going to study the heights, the depths, the widths, and lengths of God's word, and we're going to try to press our way in to the kingdom of God, and there's some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Well, I'm content with 30. And I say, well, the first thing we're going to do is get the lying devil off of you. He said, well, you know, I just want to know Jesus and him crucified. Well, that's not what the apostle was saying when he was saying that. He said that's what he would like to present himself with you as. Amen. Just with that knowledge, and that's what people need. You know, some of the things I might teach tonight, you know, I'm not going to be out in the evangelistic field. man, out in the evangelistic field, I'm going to go to the elementary things of God, talking about the bloodshed of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Amen. And I'm going to share with them the need of some things. You know, you need to get born again. You need to get baptized in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You need to find a church home. You need to find a pastor and a brotherhood that you can get involved in. And we're going to be dealing with things that they need at that time. And one could question, well, why would I need to understand these dimensional projections? What would I do? Because it brings stability. The Bible says, talking about people now that are supposed to be God's elect, it said they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This one over here says, I believe in women past. This one says, I don't. This one says, I believe in a three-person God. This one says, I don't. I believe in one God. This one believes that you could backslide. This one doesn't. This one believes in pre-tribulation rapture, and this one believes in post-tribulation rapture. This one over here says, well, I believe in worshiping the God on Saturday. No one says, I believe in worshiping him on Sunday. I believe in worshiping him every day. Amen. And teaching properly, it could sound like we're in dispute with some of this. It's not a dispute, brother. It's a matter of doctrine and teaching to bring people into the fullness of the Godhead, where they're not tossed to and fro. Amen? So, you know, again, and there's so many flavors of religion. Brother Zach and I were together yesterday. We went into a drugstore, and a little old lady pushing a cart. You know, and I was testifying to a Muslim woman for a second. And a woman over there, she spoke up and got my attention. She's 15 foot over there, and she goes, hey, I'm one of them believers too. You know, talking about a Christian. You know, say, I'm a Christian too. And I said, well, praise God, ma'am. She ended up talking to me and saying, hey, her husband's in this stage of such and such a cancer, man, and could you pray for him? I said, sure I can. Amen. But in this concept of talking, we find people from so many different walks of life, so many different things, so many different understandings. There's only one faith. One says, I'm Baptist faith, I'm Methodist faith, I'm Church of God faith, I'm a sinner. No, there's only one faith. Amen. We don't go into teaching, you got to be this or that. You just need to be born again and become one with Christ. Amen. And the thing is one might fellowship in this work and one might fellowship in that. And I'm not going to put him in hell because of some of their doctrinal problems. But if they got the love for the truth and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, God's going to draw them into all truth. Amen. I had a deep hunger for things of God. And I wasn't being satisfied in the churches and many of the places I was at. But there was something drawing me, and I didn't know what it, I didn't know how to explain, but I wasn't satisfied. And when I came to the doctrine of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ under my pastor, I started finding things satisfying me. Satisfying the sinner, quickening. Some of the things I didn't understand when I started hearing them, but it was bringing such a satisfaction of a thirst that couldn't have been satisfied outside that, a hunger that wasn't being satisfied. And all of a sudden it was being satisfied, but my intellect was in a deficit or a place that I couldn't comprehend at all. And as I was learning, my father came to me one time. He said, son, I listened to you and I could understand it, but I could never explain it. Well, I understood what he said because I'd been there. And I'm still there. Not that I'm any better than anything or anybody. Let's go right here in some scripture and a good place to start. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we get the brethren to put it on the board. It is not expedient to me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Amen. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell, or out of body, I cannot tell. Amen. I don't know if any of you ever have experienced anything like this, but you honestly can't tell. There's a revelation that'll show you, and you'll know exactly where you're at and what you are. Amen. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Third heaven. So many times we expressed right here, if there's a third heaven, amen. If there is a third heaven, there must be a first and second. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it says, and I knew such a man, whether in body or out of body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, let's talk about this for a minute before we even think about writing on the board. But here's he's seen and heard things that he could not utter. Now we can go over in the book of Revelation where it said, seal it up. Amen. So can God speak to a man, to a brother or a sister in some kind of way and say, seal it up? Well, we know it's in the word. Now the Bible talks about the stewards of the mysteries, the secrets. Now if someone was told to be sealed up, then it would be a secret. Is that correct? Now sometimes we can get permission to speak possibly a mystery or a secret, correct? And then yet again, we got to be careful of the congregation or the people or whatever. So it's hard, you know, as they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they all came in one mind and one accord, 120 in the upper room. Do you realize that that was the biggest miracle in its own self? To get 120 people into one mind? How would you like to go over to Congress right now? I don't know how many are in the Congress or the Senate or whatever. How would you like to go in there and think you're going to get them all in one mind? You think that would be a task? Brother Chuck, how many people are in the Congress? Do you have any idea that are seated in there? How many? Oh, 500. That's impossible, man. If there was 120 there, it would probably still be impossible. You know what I'm saying? Just looking at an allegory as a thought. But why is the church so divided in mind and thought? Why has it infiltrated the church? Amen. You know, we know that God would like for us all to come into one mind and one accord, not piercing each other through nor breaking ranks. But then why is there so much of that going on in organized religion? And then people say, well, God wants us all to come together, so I'm going to fellowship this one and I'm going to fellowship this one because that's just the love of God. No, you're just in a slop hole. Sometimes we can't fellowship it. We can't be part of it. Amen. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. Walking with them and going to them and bringing word and love is different than walking with them. You know, Jesus, you know, he found, you know, with Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes and different people, some of them would find fault with them. Said, man, these are unclean. These are Gentiles, man. These are unclean. You shouldn't be there. And he said, hey, the sick need a physician. But when you tell me that you're going to them because they're sick and need a physician, you're going to sit in the ball games with them, go to the car races with them, the movies with them and stuff, you're just of you the father of the devil. You know, you ain't trying to help them. You're using it for an excuse like you're trying to reach them. You're going to reach them by the word, reach them by love, reach them by separating from the world and being a separate people. You ain't going to reach them trying to fellowship with them. How'd you like to be at one of them NASCAR races, if that's what they call it, and, you know, try and tell a guy about Jesus, and about the time you're talking, all he hears is an engine going by. You know, well, he missed that part. He missed a whole lot of parts. Well, you don't think I could save my NASCAR buddy? I didn't say that. I didn't say it, but you ain't going to do it in his world. You got to bring him into your world. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. If you want to save somebody, you got to bring them out of the world. And if you're fellowshipping with them in the world that they're in, you're giving Godspeed to it. And how are you ever going to get them out of it? Come on, church. Doesn't that make sense? All right. Amen. So here we're reading about first, second, third heaven in a body. Couldn't tell if he was in body or out of body. So if I was in some kind of a living perspective, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, maybe if you ain't in this body, there's no thinking, there's no understanding, there's no anything. To some, there is annihilation and death, you know, but their soul continual on in a place of damnation, their spirit be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Death and hell are temporal, but they'll be cast in the lake of fire, which is eternal. Hell not being made for man, amen, but made for these fallen angels. Now, when a man becomes one with that spirit of their father, the devil, then that means they're a candidate for hell, amen. Heaven's the same way. It said no flesh and bone could enter in, but what can enter in? The angel of the Lord. So the only way that we could enter in there is by being predestined in Christ and married unto him. And the Bible said he gives us his spirit to conform to his image. Amen. And the only way we have eternal life, the predestination, is in Christ Jesus. It's not in your church. It's not in a religion. It's not in your works. It's not in your goodness. It's not in the way you dress or the way you do. It's in Christ and him only. But when you are in him and him in you, then you will bring a conformity to the body. The Bible said holiness, and it talks about body, soul, and spirit. Amen. That's how we present it. So a lot of people say, well, God just looks on the heart. Amen. And, you know, it don't matter how I dress, how I look, how I live. That's not the truth. Amen. No matter how you judge it or how you think about it, you're in error if you think that God only looks on the heart. Because let me tell you, we're trying to reach mankind. And they, you know, they use terminologies like profiling. You could profile people. Amen. And you could look at people. You know, and you say, well, you know, I can't judge. Well, you need to get born again. Because you that are born again judge all things according to the Bible. And if he commands me in the word that if I walk with this man, I'm going to bring judgment. If I'm walking with a man that's in some kind of a sinful way, and I'm walking with him, it said, and I agree with him, I'm going to be partakers of what his sin is. You see, there will be men that will absolutely go to hell and burn for being a sodomite that has never been in a perverted relationship of such. Now, I could take you to the Bible and prove that to you. Jesus said, you know, the law, you know, before him said that if a man and a woman were caught in the very act of adultery, they'd take him out and stone judgment. But he said, if a man now look upon a woman that he'd committeth adultery, there may not have been any relationship, but it's another dimension. It was something that took place in the spiritual realm. Now, when the Bible says that you must be born again, now you look into the first dimension of thought and you see man and goes and has a wife. He said the woman saved in childbearing. God was grieved with Eve because Eve was in the transgression. God could have wiped Eve off the face of the earth. Is this correct? But if God would have wiped Eve off the face of the earth for her being in the transgression, amen, then man had a problem. He couldn't reproduce himself. So he said woman saved in childbearing. So we see it with Eve. Okay, then God goes on to say that he repented that he even made man. So God wiped man off the earth, and now there's another problem in the next dimension. You see, he couldn't reproduce his image. So we see that mankind is saved in childbearing. So then we come in and we find the bloodshed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the washing and the regeneration, to make us as that pure virgin. Right? Amen? Okay, I'm speaking as a man, as the bride now. Okay, so I had to switch a dimension somewhere, right? Is this correct? I had to. Because in the first dimension, or the first heaven, I'm a man. Amen? Okay. In the second dimension, what are you, Brother Rob? Well, Jesus said he made himself twain. Is this correct? He made himself both Lord and Christ. Amen? Twain, that's two. So in the second dimension, what am I? Well, you can see me both twain. You can see me as a man. And you could see me as a son of God. You could see me as a bride. Amen. The bride of Christ. You could see beyond the veil and see the angel of the Lord and see it in masculinity. For a foundation of thought. And Brother Andy, come up here for just a second. I always get you to help me out here a little bit. He's a good speller. Amen. You just put the first heaven in the far left, second heaven in the middle, and the third heaven to the far right. Just do that for a place of starting. So when we start speaking about heavens, plural. Now, if you look up plural with an S in a concordance, you're going to find it. Okay? Now, the Bible said there's one God, right? Everybody ever read that? One God. It said there's one faith and there's one baptism. But then yet I read in that same Bible and it talks about a baptism of water, right? A baptism of blood. And fire, and a baptism of spirit. But the Bible says one baptism. The Bible says one God, but then it says Father, and it says Word, and it says Holy Ghost. Amen? The Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. So I'm accurate to say one, right? Is that rope big enough? Can you all read it back there? Okay, the guy with good eyes saying yes, and the other guy's going no, no. The guy with glasses says no, and the guy without glasses going yeah, yeah. So I don't know, we'll just leave it. Amen. And so put the body over under the first heaven, the soul under the second, and the spirit under the third. And this will, we could start speaking and differentiating. Now, I'm going to say some things that would sound contrary to the Bible if you're in one dimension. But if you understand the revelation of the Lord, then it would do. And I've said these things oftentimes in preaching. The Bible said we can't mix light and darkness. Anybody ever read that? Anybody read that? Okay, amen. But then yet I say, no, I can. We say you're calling the Bible a lie. No, I'm not calling the Bible a lie. But over here in this third dimension is light. And I cannot mix darkness over here. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no darkness. There's no hate. There's no bitterness. But I find all that over here in the first. Amen? Okay, so talking about the heaven, we talk about the third heaven. It's different than the second heaven because the Bible said that there's no male nor female and no marriage or given to marriage there, right? But then yet I find another place where we behold this red dragon in heaven. And there was a woman there in travail to give forth a child. Anybody ever read that in the book of Revelation? I believe it's in chapter 12. Okay, so if there's a woman in heaven, but then yet when I read in the Bible, it said there's no male nor female in heaven. So we got a controversy in the word, so let's just throw our Bible away, right? No, we're going to have to differentiate it to understand it. So the woman realm, we could talk about a woman saved in childbearing over here. And then we could talk about the second heaven, the woman being saved in childbearing. That's New Testament doctrine. When you go into looking at the flesh of man, okay, the flesh, it shows feminine. Now, if I got an inner man and an outer man, now the Apostle Paul made this statement in the scriptures, and he was talking about marriage. And he said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Now, if you counsel or talk to most theologians and preachers, and you talk about what that's saying, and they're going to talk about like me and my wife get married and we become one. But when you listen to them talk, they're not saying one in the flesh. They're saying, oh, you come into the same mind? Is that in the flesh? You come in and she starts forming to you and that's how you become, you know, one. But that's in another mind altogether, like a spiritual prospect. When you start trying to, you know, make sure you got the dimensions down, you know, the Bible said you can't mix light and darkness, right? Now, you can't mix bitter and sweet. But let me tell you, I got light and darkness right here in this second heaven. Amen? The Bible said light being formed within darkness. Okay, and we could take time to put all these scriptures up here and look at it. But, you know, you could take notes. You can do whatever you want. You can go look these up at them. Just tell them what the Bible says. And you say, well, I'm not sure. Well, then go look it up. Be like the Bereans. Go study it. You know, study to show yourself approved, a workman who not be ashamed. Challenge me. Check me out. Look it up. Okay, but if light's being formed in darkness, what are we talking about there? Light eradicates darkness. Now, if Jesus is light and we receive his spirit of light, he's going to start, Brother Pike used to say, like a little chicken in an egg. He said it's going to start pecking away at that thing and one day it's going to break through. Well, this inner quickening of thy spirit is going to keep pecking away on that old outer shell and it's going to break that thing down and one day comes forth the manifested sons of God. Amen. But beloved, now you are the sons of God. The world doesn't see you as that. So then we could talk about the translation, the transformation, and the transfiguration. Amen. And these are relative to these different dimensions. Go ahead and put that up there for a minute, Andy. There's so many things we'll never, but I want to take a little bit of time tonight. Put the transfiguration under this one and under this one here. Oh, let's see which one he's going to put. He's been studying. Now, some of these things you may think that we have them in the wrong place. Now we think of Father, Word, all right, amen? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, so where does the, you know, we could say, let's see what he's got here. Transfiguration, transformation, and translation. Now these are biblical terminologies. Sanctification, glorification, amen? Justification, sanctification, and glorification. These again, they run a parallel with these others here. So let's put the Holy Ghost up here. Now, if we think about the Holy Ghost, say that's spirit. So you'd think that we'd put it over here in this spirit dimension right here. But the Holy Ghost goes right here and put it there, Andy. And you say, why would the Holy Ghost go in the body realm? Because it was expedient that he went back spirit and he sent back the Holy Ghost, which is spirit. But where's it go? To the body. We, the church, the body. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, when you think of transfiguration right above it, you think the transfiguration. See, my spirit doesn't need to be transfigured. It's this flesh that needs to be transfigured. My spirit has been translated and birthed into the marvelous kingdom of God. Now, in the spirit realm, you don't need a body. Do you realize the Father had no beginning, no end? And the first bodily manifestation came when Jesus Christ came. Amen? With the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, so the spirit, You know, people think, well, you know, you understand the body realm. And you look at people and you could tell by their looks, you know, he's fat, he's skinny, he's a male, he's a female. And all your discernment judgment is by what you see. But the Bible said, my kingdom's without observation. And he said, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Okay, so faith is invisible, but it brings forth something of a substance or an evidence. So when we go to faith, we're going to find it in the spiritual realm, but it's got to go over and come into a manifestation to bring forth a substance or an evidence over in the natural realm or over in the body realm. Amen? So let's finish this out. So we got the Father, the Word. We could put Jesus here in the middle. Or we could say the Word, we could say the cross. I am the door, the way, the truth, the life. We could put the door there. So he's a door that's open that we can go through. There's no way to go through. There's no way to go unless we go through Jesus and through the blood. So put down water over underneath first heaven. Put the Father over here and finish that one out. And we say the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Water, blood, there we go, and spirit. There was times I've been doing teaching, I stand over on this side of the desk, and I say like the Apostle Paul. You know, I was a minute ago, I said, I'd like to speak unto you in spirituals, but I find you yet carnal. And then another place he goes in and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now here's a man that's wanting to teach and preach the word. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to find myself doing. He's speaking as a man. But he said, I'd like to speak by the Spirit. So if I spoke as a man over here, then I walk over to this side of the sacred desk, I say, I'm going to speak by the Spirit. I'm born of God. I cannot sin. I pass from death unto life. I'm hid away in Christ. I'm sealed in. Nothing could be laid to my charge. Amen. I pass from death unto life. I cannot die. You see, the sting of death is sin. Amen. So when I speak by the Spirit, I can't die. And somebody hear you speak like that, and then all of a sudden you get killed in a car wreck, an airplane crash, somebody shoots you, you die of a heart attack, and they say, that preacher was a liar, he died. No, he didn't. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? In differentiation of understanding, so we talk about the Father being invisible. I could write down invisible here. I could write down visible over here. Okay, the Bible says the things that are visible, the things that you see, the things that appear are temporal. But the things that are invisible said they're eternal. So, Andy, go ahead and write that under there. Put invisible over here, no, the far right. The spirit world, invisible to man. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Now, over on the other side, he could write visible. You say, what just runs in the middle? Both. You're going to find that when we get in the middle of many of these things, we're going to find both things. And let's talk about blood life. So right now, you see me in what's related to the blood world. Now we know this, that if we got water, blood, and spirit, I go over to the water world. You take a tree, a plant, things related to this world. If I remove the water away from it, what happens to it? What happens if I don't water a tree, Brother Mike? It dies. It withers away and dies. It's relative to the water world. Amen? I'm relative to the blood world. You take the blood out of me, what happens? You cut a guy, you cut a wrist, he bleeds out, he's gone. Okay, so we got a water world, a blood world, and a spirit world. I could take you over and read it to you in 1 John 5. It says, the water, the blood, and the spirit said these three agree in one. And in the same passage of scriptures, it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. So now, the Bible said that the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. So we could look as men into the carnal world of sight, which is temporal, and we could comprehend and start understanding some of the things of the spirit world by what we see and by what appears. Now that's Bible. Amen. So when we get into thought, teachings, and doctrines and things, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't preach doctrine. It separates people. But if we don't preach doctrine, we got nothing to say. Because it's the doctrine that sets us free. The doctrine sets us apart. And the doctrine brings life and salvation. Doctrines of baptism. Not laying again the foundation repents and go on. And we got to go on into doctrines, brother. And the thing is a church that don't teach doctrine, you're going to have people that are just tossed to and fro and stumbling around. Amen? So, you can sit down there a minute. If we go invisible, if I say we put in this way, did we do light, darkness? Go ahead and put underneath this one over here because, you know, we got the world of light, and go over under the first heaven and put darkness. Now, in the middle realm, we're going to have twilight. Now, when the Bible said we can't mix light and darkness, what is it saying? It's saying in the third heaven. When the Bible said there's no male nor female, we're in the third heaven. So I open up to the book of Revelation. He said, I show you a mystery, that he saw this woman in travail to bring forth a child in heaven. But there's no male nor female there. Okay? And there's no marriage there, but here's a woman bringing forth a child. So that can't be in the third heaven, right? It's got to be in the second heaven. Okay, now in the second heaven, we saw this red dragon there waiting to devour the child as soon as it was born. What does that have to do? It has to do with your blood life. You see, when the child of Christ starts coming up and you being the woman, showing the bride, carrying this child to bring it forth, amen? And the child's got to be born and caught up. Now, when it says there in the book of Revelation that it was caught up, if it was in the third heaven, there ain't no caught up to God. Amen. God's in the third, so when it was caught up, it come out of the second heaven into the third. Now, this is talking about your spirit. When this child, when you've been born again, is caught up, Jesus being the firstborn of many brethren, that's what the Bible said, right? So now when your spirit's caught up to the third heaven, that's sealed in, hid away, nothing can be laid to our charge. There's no sin there. Sin is the sting of death. There's no death there. But we find travail and fight and warfare and things happening in the second heaven. And we find that man is relative to death. It's appointed unto man once to die. So I go over to the first heaven, has to do with man, has to do with the body. And it's relative to the corruption. It's relative to temporal things. This body goes back to the dust. Amen. So if I want to speak to you as a man, oh wretched man that I am, man, it's going to wear you out. But I speak to you by Christ and by the perfection, profession of Jesus Christ. The Bible again says that we're the high priest. He's the high priest of our profession. Now, so as we start trying to understand, if the woman can't be here, amen, to have a child, and we find the woman in heaven, we find the second heaven. Okay, so now we find Jesus here being the mediator between God and man. He's the one that stands in between the first and the third. He is the door that you must come through the blood. You find the blood there. If you ain't been washed in the blood, brother, there's no entrance into here. But once you're in here, the blood is done away with. And you say, well, I can't see that. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus manifested as both Son of Man and Son of God. He manifested in a temporal body. The Bible said he suffered not the Holy One to see corruption. Is this correct? Suffered him not to see corruption. Now, if he suffered him not to see corruption, when he was crucified on the cross, they put him into the dirt. He would have saw corruption. That body would have. But he suffered him not, so the Spirit redeemed it and pulled it out of corruption. Suffered him not to be in corruption. So we're rending the veil again. Is this correct? We have to rend the veil of the manifestation and the dimension in. Now, this whole realm right here is going to be done away with. And you say, come on, Brother Ron, that is a transformation realm. If you look over here at the translation, transformation, transfiguration. Now, what is the purpose of that? This body's what needs to be transfigured. It's mortal flesh. And he said, one day the mortality will lay itself down and pick up immortality. Amen. The corruptible and the corruption is temporal, and corruption puts on incorruption. Mortal puts on immortality. Okay, so all that's taking place coming through that second heaven right there. Do you understand that? We're going on a progression, on a journey to God, pressing our way into the kingdom, fighting the good fight of faith, transforming our mind, casting down vain imaginations and every thought that would exalt itself against God. Are you with me, brethren? Come on. This is what we're all doing. This is the way we're all walking. This is the way we're all going. So when we start looking at these saints, you say, well, I'm a child of light. I'm a child of the resurrection. I'm a child of God. Over here, I'm a child of man. My father's a man. My father's over here about aged out, over here laying in a nursing home. I could talk about my natural father. I could talk about the inheritance that came from him. I could talk about diseases that I got to fight and deal with and all the things relative to mankind. I love my dad. I love the things he taught me and made me into a man. Yes, I love that. But brother, I've got another father. Amen. One in the third heaven. I'm related to him. I got a spirit in me that cries, Abba, Father. And when I got that spirit, I respect my first dimension, Father. Amen? And when I come over to the third, I come into a different perspective, but I reverence the fact of my first dimension body, and I try to cherish it and take care of it and keep it beyond reproach. That's through the transformation realm. So I bring the attributes of the Father. I bring the attributes of God, the attributes of a no-sin life, the attributes of eternal life, and I got to bring them down through the soul, right, and bring it down here, and to bring it in this body that you could see it. Now, I spoke the other day in speaking, and these are things that Brother Pike would speak on oftentimes, but he said the spirit is the light, which we got up here. And then we go to the second heaven. The soul realm is like the film on a projector, and the light shines through the film. Amen. And then it comes forth on the screen. Amen. And you see on the screen. This is what has to do with the inward quickening of the spirit light. It shines through the soul, the second dimension, and people see it on the screen. The Bible said, whoever you commit your works to, who you are of. So when people see drunkenness and rowdiness and rioting and evil and adultery and fornication and all these different things of the world, then I'm of my father the devil. Because the light shined forth and showed what I am, exposure. Amen? So if Andy come up, and I want you to put again right under this one, put light again, and then put object in the middle. And then put the shadow over at the other side. Now, the Bible calls the Old Testament a shadow. Amen? The shadow of things to come. So we go over and we look at different characters in the Bible. We talk about Joseph. What was Joseph? He was a shadow of Jesus Christ. Here he was rejected by his brethren. He was cast into a pit. Jesus went into hell. And all of a sudden he was redeemed by the king, the Pharaoh, the one. And he brought him out. And then all of his family had to come to him for life. Amen? Beautiful thing of Jesus Christ. You know, and we can go to so many characters in the Bible. In the Old Testament, is the shadow showing us something to do with the object realm. So we see light. The book of Revelation has to do with light. Shining across the New Testament. Showing the object. Jesus came as the object of worship. Right in the New Testament. So we got the book of Revelation. I know everybody breaks the Bible into Old Testament, New Testament. But the book of Revelation is set apart from the New Testament. But we set the book of Revelation and we go across the object where Jesus was at, New Testament. And then we see the shadows over there in the Old Testament. All these things fit and tie together, brother, to bring us into a doctrine or a revelation or an understanding. Understanding that we could see the height, steps, widths, and lengths, and we could start coming to an understanding. You see, brethren, I'm not going to chide with folks outside revelational doctrine. I'm going to love them and help them in. If I use some of these things and I go to them and beat them up or act like I'm more spiritual, I'm better, man, I'm not Christ-like at all. Jesus loved them. He said we have to even have a love for the heathen in his word. Amen? So, looking again to these saints in this middle one, we didn't write anything, but this is where we got the invisible world and the visible world coming together. So if he wrote here, you don't have to, but if he wrote visible with a slash and visible and invisible. And you say, well, that don't make sense to me. Well, let me help you out with it. The Spirit is invisible, and he came in the Father. The Spirit of the Father came into Jesus in the fullness. People could see now the invisible Father right here in the second heaven. Jesus came in the second heaven between God and man, and the Father manifested in this body that man could see the love and the attributes of God. So now man that is over here in the visible realm saw the invisible manifested here in the second dimension. Are you with me, church? And he was the firstborn of many brethren. Now that's you. This is why when I teach holiness and godliness and righteousness and separation from the world, and casting down thoughts, and getting control of anger, and bitterness, and hate, and animosities, and strife, because we got to cast that down and put it under our feet, because we should be the manifestation of the world of light. The Bible said we're children of light, children of the resurrection. Amen. And when a man is resurrected into heavenly places, he comes into a heavenly mind. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he said, how could I be equal with God? Becoming one with him. Again, when a man and woman marry, they become one. Paul said, I show you the revelation. When a man and woman, they become one in the flesh. So the Bible teaches us over here that we're going to be married unto Christ. We enter into the chambers, the seed enters in, amen, and that keeps us from sin, and there's a birthing of a child, So when we try to get a dimensional perspective of that, what's happening? What's going on? What heaven are you in, Brother Rob? Well, you see me manifested in the first heaven. But I've got the third heaven manifesting in the first heaven because I was caught into the second heaven. Now listen to me. He said, I don't know whether I was in body or spirit, cannot tell, but I know he's caught away into the third heaven, right? Was he in body or was he in spirit? What was he? He said he couldn't tell. But by the revelation of the Lord, amen, Brother Pike, I was talking to him about that one day, and he said, well, Brother Rob, I know. You know, he said, oh, come on, man, Brother George, you know, you're going to sit here and try to tell me that you know more than the Apostle Paul did? Well, let me tell you, he was one of the first guys caught up there besides the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been caught away before, and I'm thinking, man, I couldn't tell. You still are sensing, and you're looking, and you're seeing. Now, when I'm right here in this body, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden I'm out of the body, and I'm still looking, he'd say, well, I really can't tell. But when he walked through that wall, he might have told. Because I can't walk through that wall unless you open the door. Amen. But all of a sudden he was caught into this place of third heaven. I've been caught away before, brethren, in plain things. Some things you could say, some things you could speak, some things he tells you, he's given it to you for you could help others with it, but they can't tell it. Do you know, you realize you can go to a doctor and he could see something, but he knows you're not ready for it and would kill your hope and stuff in him as a doctor and in medications, and it's going to lose your hope, so he's going to veil it from you. He'll say, look, take this medication. You got a problem. We're going to try to get you through it. He might go talk to the other physician and say, it ain't looking good for this guy. I don't think our medicines are going to work, but, man, let's try. Practice medicine. Let's try. Let's see what we could do. Amen? And sometimes, you know, when people come around, and I want to have full confidence in the brotherhood and the Christ in them, and you say, well, you know, I'm going to unveil this guy to you. This is a problem. Man, you'll shun him probably and back away from him. And you shouldn't do that. You should have love in your heart. So sometimes we veil things. You know, and then sometimes say, well, Brother Rob, you didn't see it. You'd be surprised what we see. It's sealed away, sealed up. See him through the mind of Christ. Sometimes we could see a diamond in the rough. Sometimes we could see something in a transformation realm. And you look at it. I could write over here butterfly, right under here, as an allegory. I could put the cocoon here, and I could put the worm over here. Amen? And you look and you see a worm. And you say, I ain't nothing but a worm. Look at that nasty little sucker. It's going to eat my plants. And I say, I see a beautiful butterfly. And you say, no, I see a worm. I see the butterfly. Amen? You got an acorn here? And you say, what is that? An acorn. I say, no, I see a whole forest. Come on now. You say, well, what do you see it by? I see it by faith. Amen. You see a failed man, I see a son of God. Amen. You see sin, and I see the overcoming, the conquering of sin. I apologize in me saying like that. It's like I'm seeing something you ain't seeing. And I don't mean to sound that way, but I'm saying it's a choice. It's a choice. Talked to little sister Katie, all tore up crying before church. I said, why'd you choose to be that way? I choose to have joy. I choose to walk in heavenly place. But brother, it's been tough today, man. I've lost my temper. I've let bitterness. I've let anger. I've let all these things. I said, well, let's conquer that. And the way we conquer, put it under our feet. I choose not to do that. I choose to be happy. I choose to have the joy of the Lord. I choose to walk in the Spirit. I choose this day to serve God. Now, I could surrender my members to the devil. Oh, you've done it. I've done it. So we can look at her and say, oh, you poor wretched thing. Yeah, every one of you done the same thing. The Bible said the littlest member in a man's body is that tongue. He says it's the hardest thing to tame. Sometimes we let that thing flap more than it should. Huh? I know you've never had that problem. You got a tongue in your mouth. I'm talking to you. Amen. Praise God. You know, Katie's growing in grace and knowledge of God. Yes, she's on the same transformation realm, struggling and fighting a good fight of faith. Pushing, trying to mortify and kill that man out. Amen. Anybody have a man that wants to come alive, wants to make the thinking, make the decisions? Well, we all do. But I choose to serve the Lord. Man, when you wake up in the morning, the Bible says it's daily we take up the cross. Why does it say daily? Well, you done real well yesterday, Sister Katie. Man, you was walking and smiling. And man, Jesus is good, and today you're the devil. Well, she didn't kill him today. Now, if Jesus looked at Peter and said, get you behind me, Satan, I can look at my little sister and say, get behind me, Satan, huh? Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was. gave him the keys to the kingdom. He said, get you behind me, Satan. So she's given place to the flesh, savoring the things of the flesh, bitterness, anger, and hate. I say, get behind me, Satan. Oh, man, that's a rough way to talk to her. I said, get rid of the devil before we can get Katie back. Amen. Amen. And she could walk with a smile on her face. See, I got something to be happy about. Jesus set me free. He saved my soul. Amen. He filled me with his spirit. He gave me everything to pertain on. And he gave me love and peace and joy. So how can I walk around? Oh, me. Gosh, you're so stinking terrible. Oh, gosh. Well, folks, I don't know if I could say anything to you today because I just don't feel like much. Don't, but you know, oh, but Jesus loves you. Somebody said, get rid of that preacher. Get that sucker out of there. Brethren, you know, we're wanting to make a presentation. Oh, you could have pain in this body, but you're not relative to pain. Amen. You're relative to the pain-free world of the Spirit. Speak to him by the Spirit. I've watched Andy's granddad. He's in stage 4 whatever cancer, and his body is shutting down and closing down. Legs swelled up and everything. The hospice nurse comes and said, hey, why don't you go see somebody who needs some help? He said, man, everything's fine with me. I got Jesus. Amen. He said, man, he's been so good to me. Amen. And he's testifying Jesus, this woman, and she's looking at him like I was, like, whoa. I mean, here's a guy, man, that's body shutting in and dealing with all the pain of this cancer and all this thing in his bone and everything. And he says, man, he's talking joy, man, smiling at this woman. He was gone in just a few days right after that. And he's testifying, Jesus, a hospice nurse. And he said, I don't understand that. You know, I guess I could have went in there as Job's wife. Come on, curse God and die. You know, man, he wouldn't do it. He said, man, Brother Rob, shut your stinking mouth. That's what he would have said. Amen. He wasn't relative to the body. When you're relative to all the things, the body's going to destroy you. You say, but Brother Rob, we live in this thing. It hurts. Hey, I know the pain. It's weighty. It's relative to another dimension of darkness. But brethren, we think on the things from above. That's what the Bible says. Think on the things from above, the things that are righteous and virtuous, things that are godly. You think on the things of the world and pursue the world, you'll die by the world. Come on. It's a state of thinking. I transformed my mind. Why? For I could think like a son of God. For I could think like God. Let this mind be in you also in Christ. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Can you be equal with him? Sure. He wouldn't have said it in his word. What do you mean be equal? Try to overthrow him. You'll be cast out like death was. But we become equal with him. Joint heirs. Do anybody know what a joint heir is? We become one with him. He's in us and through us. Amen. He's in us, and we're in him. He's through us. That's what the Bible said. I like what Brother George said, and Brother Chuck was talking to me one day, and he said, well, now they come up with this new OxyClean stuff, and they could separate iodine from the water. But Brother Pike said, take a little iodine, put it in the water, and stir it up. He said, somebody separate that. Which we could rightly divide the word, and we can't separate things. I could separate the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, but they're one. I could separate the doctrine of baptism as fire. Amen. Water and blood. We got water, blood, and spirit. I got a baptism for each realm. Amen. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, the ones that were baptized with the Holy Ghost said, would any forbid these water? We see such as these Gentiles, such as us, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, we heard them speak in tongues, for the Jew needed a sign. And he said, would any forbid these water? And they took and fulfilled. You see, there's a fulfillment. We were preaching on order Sunday. There's an order to the water world. There's an order to the blood world. And there's an order to the spirit world. And we got to learn these orders. So when I speak by the spirit world, a man will look at you and they'll say, well, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sure. You want to talk as a man? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We were all shaping in iniquity. So you want to talk as a man over to the first heaven? Well, let's talk about the third heaven. There's no sin there. No sorrows there. No pain there. No more tears there. We sing songs about it. But brethren, man, we need to live in it now. We're living, manifesting in the second heaven to the first heaven that they could see good. Amen. That was the purpose of Jesus. Why did Jesus come? What was his purpose? For man could see and comprehend and understand God, right? For they could have life, life abundant. That was the purpose of Jesus. If he's the firstborn of many brethren, like the Bible says, amen, then what are you? I'm a brother of God. Come on now, can you believe that? Okay, you say, well, are you the bride of Christ, Brother Rob, or are you the brother to God? Which one? I'm not understanding. Well, I got Bible for both of them, so you have to differentiate. Okay, so I talk about being the bride of Christ. Amen? That he's coming for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So if I look at everything by the first dimension, well, brethren, we ain't got no hope. Let's just go live it up in the world, man. Only the women are going to make it. So I got to switch a dimensional perspective here and find out the bride dimension is where the childbearing's at. Correct? Amen. This is where the woman's at in this second heaven. Amen? So the woman in the second heaven is different than the woman in the first heaven. The woman in the first heaven is a physical thing where you see these women or you know, that you could see it and understand it. Amen? So what we do is we feel the order of the bride. The bride is subjection and submission to the husband. And there's a chambers. When the man and woman marry, they go into the chamber, bring forth after the man, after his kind, going to bring forth a child. Amen. So there's a seed that's running, the spirit seed runs in this dimension over here into the second to bring forth the product to the third. And over in this dimension is a seed relative to its kind. A dog begets a dog. A horse, a white man, a black man, whatever. We go on down through the things, amen? So when we talk about seed of man, we talk about blood life. We talk about seed of this dimension. We talk about the apple tree, the fruit tree and stuff. But man was relative because he was made from the earth with a water covenant. They ate of the fruit of the trees and the things relative to water in the first covenant. But when man failed, then the water world failed. God showed the completion of the water world, the failure of the water world by flooding the earth and doing away with that perspective. But then yet we still got the things from this earth. So then we find the man failed in the second dimension or in the blood dimension. Blood life failed. So Jesus came and fulfilled all things to do with blood life by shedding his blood at the cross of Calvary. The blood dimension's over, brethren. He finished it just like the water world was finished and it's over. Jesus said this when he was on the cross of Calvary. He said, it's finished. What was finished? The blood life was finished at that point. You say, but Brother Rob, I see you. You're still relative to this blood world, but you've sliced these wrists, cut my throat. The blood runs out. Yes, you see an ending of this blood life, but the spirit life is in there to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Death has been abolished. Death has been conquered. Death has been overcome by the bloodshed of my Lord. He wasn't satisfied with the blood of the bulls and goats over here, but he was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, which was the finishing of the blood world. So now we're in the spirit dimension. I've been born of the spirit. You know, I go over and that time be born of man, talk about my dad, all flesh going by the way of the way of dust. But I'm talking about an Abba Father. I got another father over here. I'm born of the Spirit. Amen? Because the blood made it possible. The blood life being done away with, Jesus finishing the blood world, the blood dimension. But you see me in the blood world. You see me that way. Well, you're seeing the invisible and the visible. And what you're seeing is I'm using this tabernacle just like Jesus did to bring good news and glad tidings to mankind. To bring them into understanding and revelation that they can understand God. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. He was the firstborn of me, but we're doing the same thing. But what relative to this? I was crucified with Christ, no longer live. What part was crucified? The first life. The first man, Adam. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. So we got to do away with one and let another live. So if I'm mortifying something every day, we say this all the time, I'm mortifying my thoughts, my mind, my world, my life, my man. I'm killing him out. He no longer lives, and now I let Christ live. The life I live now by faith in the Son of God, this life that I now live by faith. Amen? So I'm living this life by faith. And I'm walking with the Lord by faith. Amen? And I no longer live, but now it's Christ. Amen? That's the Bible. It's now Christ that lives. So we say, beware when you entertain strangers unaware. Amen? Because you'll be entertaining angels. So I might be a stranger to a man, but he better beware. Because I'm a stranger to him, but it's the angel of the Lord. Amen. Living and dwelling in me. Some 30, some 60, some 100. The angel realm is invisible. The spirit realm is invisible. But the angel realm, the invisible realm, comes and manifests itself in the visible, in the second heaven, that we could see and comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God. Amen? This isn't complicated. It may sound complicated, but it really isn't. When you come into the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation, and we start differentiating things out to understand the mind of God, the revelation of the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, I kind of think more like the Apostle Paul thought. Well, everything I'm talking about, things he spoke about. Well, I like the thing of just, you know, I didn't come with superior wisdom or knowledge, just with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Brother, these things are elementary in the mind of God. He knows how many raindrops have hit the earth. He knows how many hairs are on Michael's head. He knows how many times Brother Ed's heart's beat. His ways are not your ways. Amen? His things, you know, at his very most weakness is stronger than you've ever even compared or even imagined. His mind is so far beyond this. This is an elementary thing of his thoughts, of his mind. Amen? So if you try to comprehend him in your finite earthly mind, you're going to be defeated right off. But let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Think in his mind. Amen? You're married unto him. Now, there's no merit or given to marriage over here in this third, but in that second, you're married unto him. You're the weaker vessel. You call upon him. You call in weakness to find strength. You call in a lack of understanding to find understanding. We go over to the gifts manifested over here. We got the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We got faith. These are gifts, brethren. Well, I got faith as a man. I could walk off this platform. I got faith. I trained myself and I learned to do this. But there's a faith of God in another realm. But the Bible said one faith. Well, there's a faith in the first dimension, a faith in the second, a faith in the third. And the faith in the third will come as a gift. He said, all by the same Spirit. The gift of faith, brother, by one and the same Spirit is tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, miracles. These are all by the one and the same Spirit. So one in the same Spirit of the Father, and we see this gift of faith come down in, faith being invisible. So we see this invisible thing come down into something that's seen, something that appears, and all of a sudden we can see the substance or the evidence. You see, the healing is invisible to the mind of man, but then all of a sudden the doctor from the relative from the first man said, man, you're sick. The doctor says that, so you go over here and you say, no, I believe in healing. And all of a sudden, the invisible works of the stripes of Christ come to manifestation into fruition in your body. And then they could see the fruition of the invisible things happening in the natural things. Are you with me, church? Okay, let's see what time it is here. 8:30, still a little early. I'll stop for any questions on anything that we're speaking about here, if I can help you in any way. Yes, sir. Okay, well, you answered your question. Okay, but the Bible said one faith and says one God, but I have Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So one faith, we got one baptism, we got water, blood, and spirit, and one faith. Oh, so if I differentiate faith, see, I cannot have God. And we talk about in the gifts of come by the one and the same Spirit, there's a gift of faith, a gift of miracles, a gift of tongues, a gift of interpretation, a gift of healing. Now, that gift of faith right there is going to supersede far of my faith. Now, man does have a measure of faith. When the Lord Jesus was speaking, and when the man come to the Lord, and he said, look, it's not necessary for you to go to my home, man. You know, I'm a leader. I could speak and send somebody to take care of things. All you have to do is say to the servant, he said, such a great faith. And he said, your petition or the thing, you know, just paraphrase. He said, you know, it's granted to you. When the man got home, his child was healed, or whatever the petition was that he was asking for. So I've went through training as an aviator, okay? And I know many aviators that don't know God. They're lost. But they got through training, they built up a faith that, hey, I can fly this airplane. And one day the trainer, the instructor gets out, and they got confidence and they built a faith that they could fly this airplane. Okay, that's a measure of faith in a man that he's got in. But that faith won't break the gravitational pulls to get him into the third heaven. You see what I'm saying? Now, the thing is that I've had abilities, and I've exercised my mind and my thoughts and the things I understood. They ran shy. They wouldn't work. I've had doctors tell me, said, hey, We got no medication for you. We've exhausted everything. I've got faith in my 12 years of college. I got faith in my medicines, and I've administered them and given them, but I got nothing for you. See, his measure of education, understanding, and everything, and he would say, yes, I could help you. I'm going to give you this drug. I'm going to give you this that's going to fix you. But all of a sudden, he says, I got nothing for you. He's done now. We got to go into another realm, faith in God, faith in his works, faith in the Spirit, faith in everything that he said in this word. He said, by my stripes you are healed. So we step into that. Now, some of the things when we start differentiating are more troublesome to find in another dimension. You know, we could find a woman here in the second dimension. Brother Pike said there's more twain than there is three. But over here we could find, now Jesus said made himself both Lord and Christ. Amen. Or we, you know, made himself twain. So we find a lot of things too, but we can find a woman here, you being a man over in this dimension, you know, showing the woman, showing the place to bring forth the seed from the Spirit into you, just like Mary did. Amen. In this dimension, brother, you're the woman. You're going to submit yourself to the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to surrender all to him. You're going to come to him in weakness, and he's going to lead you and guide you. Amen. You entered into the secret chambers with him. The seed went into you to bring forth. The Bible says, you that are born of God cannot sin. And it tells you why. Because the seed remaineth in you. That seed came from the Spirit. That seed came from that. That's the seed. The seed my father planted into my mother didn't give me eternal life. It gave me temporal life. But the seed my heavenly father put into the bride perspective brought me into eternal life. So here I find myself as the bride of Christ. So I can't get behind the sacred desk to speak to you. Because a woman's supposed to be silent in church, so I'll just shut up and wait until we go outside and I'll talk to you. But see, I'm not up here as the bride, as the woman. I'm up here as the Son of God. I am the product that came forth from the woman that was caught away and went to the Father and into the third heaven. And then Jesus, being the firstborn of me, brethren, he condescended from heaven down to man of a less estate. So I'm born of God, of the Spirit, and I condescend to men. This might sound haughty to you, but this is what we're relative to the heavens, brother. We pass from death and life. The people of this world haven't. They're bound by the carnal mind. The carnal mind enmity with God. The carnal mind's death. This is why I said, let this mind, if you keep thinking like a man, carnally you'll die like a man. Carnal mind is enmity with God and death. Cast it down. Put it down. Think like Christ. Hey, I'm a new creature. Hey, I'm born of God. Hey, I cannot die. Amen? You go out to most of the church world, I'm sorry to say this, and you say, hey, man, I'm born of God, I can't sin. Oh, you're of the devil. You're in a cult. That's what the Bible said. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. Because the seed from the third heaven remaineth in you. And he's seeing the diamond, we might say, in the rough. And he's looking at that beautiful diamond. You take a master diamond craftsman, and he's got this old rock, and it wouldn't mean nothing to you. You probably wouldn't even want to have it near your finger, huh? But he takes that thing and starts shaping it, and all of a sudden you got a precious jewel. We're the lively stones of God. We've been through that second dimension. They're molding and shaping and creating, and man, out steps forth the brightness of the noonday sun, the sons of God. Amen. We've been born of God. We're the children of light. If this light would be unveiled in this world, it would eliminate it. Are you listening to me, brethren? I'm talking to you of who you are in Christ. You're not relative to darkness. You're not relative to death. You're not relative to man. You're relative to the kingdom. You're relative to eternal life. You're relative to the spirit world, relative to light. The Bible said again, children of the resurrection, children of the light. Amen. So we say resurrection. How do we differentiate it? How many resurrections are there? Amen. Well, in the water world, every spring, man, after the old cold and everything comes in, pow, man, the sun comes back out, the earth warms up, and the grasses and the flowers and the trees and everything starts blooming forth. Man is supposed to be, when we speak as the Son of God, we're supposed to be instant in season, out of season. We don't have no winter time. We're instant in season, out of season. I got fruit upon my tree around the year. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. I got peace. Amen. I've got these attributes of God all the time because there's no winter. I'm a Son of God. But man has a winter in his life. Amen. Well, you know, Katie had a little winter time today. Well, you know, Brother Rob, I've just failed God and failed everybody today. And I said, come on, girl. Come over here in the summertime, man. Hallelujah. Where the light's shining and the clouds are removed. You say, you know better, I'm showing up Brother Rob's church all gloom and doom. Huh? See, she's smiling now, Brother John. See, that's just a state of thought, state of mind. Amen. Go ahead and thank yourself into hell or thank yourself into heaven. You know, choose you to stay in whom you're going to serve. Amen. Well, I don't feel good. Yeah, I'm sure you don't. You know, and when you don't feel good, you could say, I feel good. Well, why, that would be lying. No, lying is when you say you don't feel good. Amen. Lying is when you say you're sick. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rom. There's sickness relative to this body. And I say, I do understand that, but let's speak by the Spirit. And all of a sudden you'll see it swallow that thing up and go away. You say, you really believe that? Oh, sure I do. Amen. Well, does it ever grab you? Well, yeah, it's grabbed me many times. Amen. But I could dwell in it, suffer in it, profess it, oh, and this, that, and make it worse. Or I could start transformation of my thinking and my mindset. I don't receive this. Sometimes children are really sick because their parents are so negative in their profession in front of the children. Oh, you're really sick, right? You're really sick. You're really sick. Well, the guy's going to be really sick. Oh, man, son, you're doing great. You're doing well. Man, I'm going to help you. I understand that, but you know what? Thank God to Jesus. Man, we're going to keep on trusting. We're going to keep on believing, and I'm going to keep on professing him. You profess sickness and weakness, you'll die from it. You profess health and liberty in Christ, man, and freedom, you'll have it. Amen. You say, but this old body's going to lay down. Amen. But you better have a profession of life, a profession of light, a profession of God. I don't care, just like his granddaddy. I said, man, here's this man in the worldly thing laying there in a deathbed. Amen. And he's professing this over here to this hospice nurse. Well, one day he took his last breath. Say, oh my. Amen. He was present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. And there's going to be a collective change, that transfiguration over there. The body is a collective thing. His body ain't been transfigured yet. But one day, brethren, all them that are in that dust, all them that were scattered all over the Atlantic in shark poop, all them all over that burned up in the fires and went all over this earth in smoke and rested over here and went over there, it's all going to be gathered back together and they're going to come forth up out of the ground. Amen. And it's going to be a transfigured body. Amen. No longer mortal, no longer corruptible, but it's transfigured into this immortal spirit flesh. The Bible said beast flesh, fish flesh, and it talks about spirit bodies. That spirit body, brethren, and when this body is transfigured over there, it's no longer relative. It could show itself in the third. It could show itself in the first. It could walk through a wall, and it could shake your hand. It could eat with you, and it'll never need food. Amen, because it's a transfigured body. Amen, no longer relative to death, no longer relative to mortality, no longer relative to the things terrestrial. It is a celestial body, one after the transfiguration. So the thing is the spirit doesn't need transfigured, the body needs transfigured. The Father is the Spirit of God manifested in the Son, and then he sent forth the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus. The Bible said, shall dwell in your mortal body. We got mortality over here. We got immortality over here. Immortality manifesting in something mortal here to show forth, amen, to transform it and bring it into immortality. Amen. So brethren, we learn these things for we could have peace of mind, for we could walk in the Spirit, and we could know what to cast down, what to put under our feet, what part that we profess. Jesus is the high priest of my profession. Amen. So I'm not going to profess sadness, anger, bitterness, hate. Come to church crying. Oh, Brother Rob, I've just had a bad day. Man, I've had a good day, amen. Oh, but did your back hurt? Oh, man, yeah, but praise God, amen. I choose to put it down. I choose to, man, I'm not going to let that thing run me. I'm going to talk about life. I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. And I start talking about it, my mind transformed, and all of a sudden that awake went away. Amen? That old pain went away. Amen. But I could submit to it. Oh, I just don't feel good at all. Is there times that you just want to crawl in bed? You say, oh, yeah, Brother Rob, I understand that. Well, let's don't talk about it. Cast that thing down. Amen. Let's talk about I feel good. Amen. Amen. You start talking to yourself like that. And you can't. I remember sharing with you. I'm going to close here right directly. But my father and I, this has been many years ago, probably 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago, he's out here. believe, working out here maybe or whatever around the church. We went up here, this little restaurant at the corner, and we were going to do some kind of job. I don't remember what it was. And me and my dad sit up here in the restaurant, and I said, "Dad, I could sit here at this table, and you could sit here at this table. Same table that Zach and his grandfather and I sat at today, Brother Bob." And we sat there at this table, and I was sitting there talking to him, and finally said, "You know, I said, man, I just don't feel like going to work. I'm kind of tired, man. It was kind of a rough day, man. We worked late last night. I just don't feel like going to work. Man, I'm wore out. I'm tired, this, that." Now all of a sudden he's sitting across from me. He's wore out and tired too. "Yeah, you're right, son." Man, I could have sat there and convinced him that we're just going back to the house, man. Let's just go back there. You rub some Bengay on, you know, whatever, man, and we'll just go in there and sit in there. Huh? Come on, man. And you can convince yourself of that. But Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. And I press strength, renewing my wings like an eagle mounting up. I profess that he could do all things. Amen. And that he's within me and I could do all things in him. I could profess. The fact is that I'm weak, but I'm strong in him. And all of a sudden I start feeling something transforming in my body. Come on, if you can't transform the body right there, you will never see the transfiguration over there. Because I got to bring this thought over to here. I got to transform through my mind and bring my body that people see upright into righteousness. I got to walk upright. I got to talk upright. I got to manifest the invisible world in them like Jesus did, for they could see Christ in me, the hope of glory. And if I could do all that in the second heaven, then the third heaven will reach right through the soul and grab that body and transfigure it, amen, and change it. That's the completion of all things, the transfiguration, amen. So, but if you don't transform in your thinking, if you don't transform by bringing this man falling on its axis upright, you ain't going to see the transfiguration. The earth tilted on its axis, wobbling through space. It's going to come back upright, showing the earthly dimension. The earth will be changed to a celestial earth like transparent gold. This body right now tilted on its axis in the transgression, in the fall. And by the righteousness of Christ, we bring it upright through the transformation of mind. The people see us walking in the liberty of Christ, walking in the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, putting all the things under our feet. Treading on the scorpions and the serpents, putting those things under our feet. That's what the world sees us doing. Why? Because we've transformed this mind of man with the weakness and the doubt and the unbelief and the hate and the bitterness. We've transformed right here the mind of man into the mind of Christ, and it will swallow up everything over there in that world. Amen? Come on, brethren. So, you could sit around in your doom and gloom and no good and I'm weak and I'm nothing and this and that, and you'll perish and die in it. So you need to have Jesus Christ as the high priest of your profession. I could do all things in him. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope I answered your question, Brother Zach. And we'll be real brief if we got one more maybe tonight. Sometimes questions take too long. I could try any more. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, the thing is us teaching some of these things over in Africa, these ministers. I spent a week with them and several hours a day talking about the wonderful things of God, trying to get them to think in a different realm, different mind. And what happens is we try to bring religion into as a man. But brethren, we have to kill the man and let Christ live. We got to die that he could live. I take you over to Thessalonians and it says, or Colossians, it says that the son of perdition has to be revealed. Amen? Has to be revealed before Christ. Let that man of Brother Andy Beachy. Amen? Let that man of Brother Zach Ellis, let him be revealed and numbered in death. Get him out of the way. Don't let him rule and reign over you no more. Mortify him, kill him, get rid of him, and now come into the mind through the transformation, the mind of Christ. Walk as Christ. Speak as Christ. Love the people. Lay your life down. Give your life as a living sacrifice. The Bible says that's just your reasonable service. That's all taking place in that second. Amen. There's no death in the third. Jesus came and crucified and laid his life down that you can have life more abundantly. So he done away with the sin of the flesh and man. So now it's the second dimension. It's the sin of the soul that'll put you in hell. He already paid for the damaged nature of the fall of the first birth. So that's already been done with. He washed away your sins, put as far as east to west. But now when we get over into the second dimension, I could open up on a whole nother thought of topic here, and I won't, but we can go over to Hebrews 6. We speak about this oftentimes. And he said, once you've come to the knowledge of the truth and been partakers of this heaven, the world to come, and been partakers of that, and you go back into willful sin, so there remaineth no more sacrifice. And see, the Christian church is teaching you that the blood of Jesus is going to wash away all of that sin. That's not the truth. It atoned for all the sin of the Adamic nature. But it says there remaineth no more sacrifice. In other words, the blood is not going to atone. When you know to do right and you continue on in sin, the blood of Jesus won't atone that. You have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. This is in Hebrews 6 and 10 chapter. Now listen to me. If you're a son of God, he chastens them that he loves. How's he chastening you? By the fire of the Holy Ghost. So if you are a son of God and you willfully sin, you're going to find the purging fire of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to wear you out, my friend. Man, he is. You will suffer. Amen. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. That's Bible now. So the thing is, you say, well, Jesus atoned for my sin. I say, yea and amen, but you better get your dimensions right, because your willful sin isn't atoned by the blood. You're going to pay a price on this side. Now listen, if you're going to put everything under the blood of Jesus, then why does he cut holes in your pockets when you're robbing? Because you're a son of God. And he cuts holes in your pockets and your money falls out, and you find yourself, when you're leaning to the arm of the flesh, all of a sudden your finances are gone and your world's gone. God said he's the one cuts holes in your pockets. So if it's all under the blood, why did he cut your pockets out? Huh? If it's all under the blood, why is he chastening them that he loves? So we got to keep our dimensions right. People start applying things. So I'm born of God over here, born of the Spirit, and I cannot sin. So now I'm in the flesh, huh? Walking as a man. Give me a girly friend, huh? Give me, you know, give me this and give me, oh, I'm a son of God. I can't sin. You're a lying devil is all you are. Amen. And you got the love for the things of the world. And whoever I yield this member to, this body to, is who I'm of. So if I yield it over to drunkenness and all the worldly lust and the flesh and the things, then I'm of my father, the devil. So the devil, we could talk about him being spirit. We could talk about the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the beast. Again, a 1, 2, 3 breakdown. Amen. Just like Jesus had a body of manifestation, people are waiting for it to come back in the eastern sky. Amen. And we could talk about the personification of the devil himself. Some say it's going to be Judas coming back. But let me tell you something. While you're looking for Judas, if you think it is Judas, while you're looking for Judas, the Bible said the spirit of the Antichrist is here now. And the Antichrist is among us. So we could talk about the Spirit of God. 2 or 3 come together in his name. He's in the midst. We could talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. We could talk about walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. But we could talk about the devil. And we can talk about the spirit of the Antichrist. And we can all walk after the flesh and the things of the flesh. And that means our father's the devil. Amen? And we're yielding our members to the devil. And we can say, well, I'm a Christian. Man, I see so many devils say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, I've been born again. I think, really? You don't look like my father? Come on, we're going to bring the attributes in. Amen? You go down there to that 92-year-old man down there and look at him. You can tell he's my father, Andy. Good-looking dude, Andy. Woo, baby. No. Come on now. Ugly and uglier. All right. Well, it don't matter how you look at it. But you can tell. But let me tell you something. When you come from this, the spirit birth, you're going to be like your father. You're going to walk. You're going to talk. Amen? Amen. You're going to bring his attributes forth. So the invisible spirit living and dwelling in you is going to manifest. Remember, the spirit is light, projects across the soul, the film, and it shows up in your body. Amen. Jesus came as an object of worship. Amen. He showed the object and the light shined across. And we seen the shadow. So let's walk in the Lord and let people see us in Christ. Amen. Let's stand together. I love you all and appreciate you. Took plenty of time this evening to try to We didn't take enough time, but we took some time, good time to get some understanding, some thoughts. Amen. I hope something was shown or something that was said here this evening that possibly helped you come and understand. There's many things that could be added to that. We could talk about Canaan land. We can talk about the wilderness. We could talk about, you know, Egypt. Amen. This body's relative to Egypt, first birth. Then we can talk about the wilderness. In the second heaven, there's a wilderness wandering there, just like the children of God. They should have just walked right on over there to Canaan, but they got in the wilderness out there. You should be walking in the spirit, but you get in the wilderness. You savor the things that be of the flesh. Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan, because you savor the things of the flesh. You savor the things of this world. Amen. But brother, we got to cross the Jordan of the intellectual mind. And we got to enter into the Canaan land in mind and thought. Amen. The beautiful things of God. We could have added a water seed and a blood seed and a spirit seed. Amen. We talk about these things all the time. Amen. The things of the water world are relative to the world. They got a winter time. The sap goes down. No fruit. So we're over here in the second dimension. And the Bible said instant in season. You as a man has a season. You have good days and bad days. You got fruit, you got no fruit. But man, get out of there. He said, you're instant in season, out of season. So it might be everything's coming against you. Everything's fighting against you. Dad's mad at you. Mom's mad at you. Wife's mad at you. Kids want nothing to do with you. And you say, oh gosh, man, I'm in the wintertime. I say, no, I got fruit on my spirit. I'm going to overcome it with joy. I'm going to overcome it with love. I'm going to do good to them that despitefully use me. They hate me. I'm going to love them. Amen. Because I'm not in their season. I'm a child of God. I got the fruit of the Spirit on my tree around the year. Oh, the economy's bad. The government's failing. Amen. You know, man, the church has failed. Everything's doomsday. And I said, man, I've got the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in heavenly places. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how his granddaddy had a smile on his face when the hospice were, you're supposed to be in gloom and doom. You're dying. I'm used to coming over trying to encourage people crying. I don't want to die. He said, man, the only death I've ever died has already been died. With Jesus Christ, I got life. Life more abundant. It don't matter what happens to this body. Amen. He didn't care about that thing. That's he utilized that body for glory of God. Amen. He used his skills, his understanding, his strength. All the way up as an elderly man, you'd see him out there. The pastor say, Brother Allie, I don't want you on that ladder. Let some of them young guys do it. And he said, man, I got this body. I give it to the Lord. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. He drove nails. He kept building, kept on going on. Amen. And one day he laid it down. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Jesus said he had the ability to lay it down or to pick it up. Man, he laid that thing down. Amen. And praise God. Amen. That one day they'll go through the Matamoros transfiguration. What's going on until then, Brother Ruff? He's present with the Lord. He's walking with the Lord. He's enjoying eternal life with God. Amen. Because he passed from death unto life back 2,000 years ago with his Lord. The Bible said that we were leaping for joy before the world ever was. Amen. You say, well, Jesus had a beginning 2,000 years ago. But he said, I'm the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. He said, well, they questioned him when he was there. He said, you're talking like you was before Abraham. He said, I was. Amen. They didn't understand that. Amen. We're eternal in the heavens, brethren. Amen. Don't profess the weakness of this world. Amen. Confess the weakness of the world. Profess the liberties you have in Christ. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two, Brother Ed, and we'll close the service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Because he lives.
Because he lives. Amen.
I could face tomorrow.
I'd hate to face tomorrow without him. Amen.
Because
he lives. Amen. Hallelujah.
All fear is gone.
Because he lives. Katie could face tomorrow. Because he lives. She could have the joy of the Lord today. Amen. Because he lives, amen. She could walk in the power of God today, amen.
Fear is gone.
Hallelujah.
Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Because he lives.
A couple prayer requests just to remember as you pray through the evening or the nights. Maybe tomorrow when you're going to work, driving in your car, Brother Zach is in transition right now between over here in Lenore to Archdale, over here, transformation of parole officers, probation officers, whatever. Just be in prayer that God will give him a man that will work with him, probation officer, that'll work with him and not try to just control him, take his liberties. Amen. Let's be in prayer about that, brethren. We're the children of God. And we can pray and trust and believe. Amen. Hallelujah. There's things going on right now, getting him checked out for renting a home. Amen. Different things going on. Let's just pray that everything will go fine. And you say, well, if it doesn't go fine, maybe he's not supposed to be here. Let me tell you, if he's supposed to be here, sometimes the devil really fights. When you're under some kind of doctrine and when you're following the Lord and walking with God, that everything's just going to go smooth and easy. I tell you, you're in false doctrine, brother. Because let me tell you, Jesus travailed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew the will of God was to go down Dolorosa. There was travail there. They were taking up stones and rocks and beating them. There was a lot of things happening to him, but he was in the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you think that when you're in the will, everything's just going perfect, amen, it is. But I'm telling you, he has his perfect liberty in your life, amen. And you might suffer for that people can see the glory of God, amen. He said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Amen? And when you're beaten for his name's sake, you rejoice. The apostles or the disciples, they came out leaping with great strides of joy. The Bible said, because they were going to be beat for his name's sake. Amen? So don't think for a moment that everything's always just going to go the way you think. We pray and trust, but God will make a way when there is no way. He'll open up doors when every other door is closed. But still, nevertheless, we learn to fight the good fight of faith. We press over obstacles. Amen? When we come up here, we get a church. Didn't have no money, but we got a church. We got a building. Didn't have no money to pay a gas bill. They said $600 deposit. Maybe it would have been $6,000, huh, Brother Ed? Yeah. We didn't have no $600, did we? But God made a way. Moved on somebody's heart, and they pushed a button, and everything come on. Amen? That's the way God works. I love a $60 miracle or a $600 miracle or a $6,000 miracle. We bought this land with no money, Brother John. Needed $100,000. The banks laughed at us. They said, we can't loan you money on raw land. We could loan you about 20% is all. Well, 20% of $100,000 is $80,000 away. It didn't work. Amen? But God moves and makes a way. Amen? Man comes up and hands us cash. It says, here, use this. Buy your land. Get your properties built, finance to pay me back. Amen? You say, what does that mean? The preparation of a man's heart from God. The man may die and go to hell. You don't know that. But still, God prepared his heart because the sons of God had a need. Amen? And God met the need because we had faith and we believed, Brother John. Amen. We didn't look at the circumstances. Oh, God, I'm having a bad day. The bank ain't going to loan me no money. God said, this is yours. The bank said you can't have it. Amen? But who knows? Amen. God makes the impossible things possible. Prepared a man's heart to do such a thing. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Has he prepared? What, are you up here repenting? Are you up here repenting for coming into my church service? Oh, gosh. Oh, you feeling better now? Okay.
I want to pray for my son.
For your son, yes. Man, he's fine. Woo, man. Woohoo! Amen. She wants to pray for the little brother. Amen. Little Gabe. Amen. He's got this stuff going on in his lungs and having troubles breathing. Said they've been keeping him in the steam showers and under breathing treatments on it. You know what? He's going to be fine, Brother John. Amen. I got no fear. Oh, come on, Brother Rob, man. You know, man, I've been a dad too, brethren. You know that? I've been a dad. I've seen when the doctors told me my daughter had 20% chance to live, a two-month-old. Oh, yeah, it put fear in me. But you know, perfect love casteth out fear, Brother John. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody needs to stand in the gap. Somebody needs to believe. Amen. Let's pray together, brethren. Amen. Most gracious Father, it's just dear sister comes in, standing right now in for my little brother Gabriel. I rebuke this lung sickness, this croup, whatever it is. And I say it's nothing but the devil. And I rebuke it in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say, Father God, open up them airways, open up those lungs. Let this stuff depart and leave this little brother right now. Let there be words of profession of Christ and profession of faith and the power of the resurrection being spoke around him, that he will not have fear in his heart no longer. I rebuke that fear in Jesus Christ's name, that the little brother could profess Christ as a little young boy and a baby. In Jesus Christ's name. Fathers, I feel your virtue right now. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, I speak that this child's airways are opening up right now. In Jesus' name. Right this very moment. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Are you thankful that your sins were washed away, little sister? Amen. Jesus is so good. Amen. He just takes them sins and puts them as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that awesome? Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up them hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift them up and say, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. See right there, man, if this little girl, where'd Katie go? Watch this. Look at Katie and show her that Jesus smile. That just makes everything go away, doesn't it? Just makes all the pain, all the heartache. You see that? See, you made her better. Look, she's already smiling. Amen. Just smile away your fears. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just state of mind. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. She has. Amen. Let's pray for Aunt Amanda, Brother John. Amen, Brother Bo. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm thankful for little nieces that want to stand in for their aunts. Saying a sister dealing with blood pressure complications. Father God, I thank you for Aunt Amanda. And I thank you, Lord God, that your grace is sufficient. And I thank you that your blood shed is sufficient. And I thank you for those stripes upon your back is sufficient. And I rebuke this thing. And Father, I ask you to help her, Father God. Help her, Lord God. Touch this complication, Father, that her blood pressure could come in. Or open up those veins and those arteries, Lord God, that the pressure become sound and in order, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. If she's doing something to abuse that body, Lord God, that is causing this complication, grant her the wisdom, Almighty God, how to bring it under subjection to Christ. Help her, Lord. Lead her and guide her and direct her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, little sister. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up to his name that we're singing about? Huh? Can you lift your hands up to him? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Sometimes we just lift them old hands up, and that spirit world right might be right there. And you get them hands lifted up, and all of a sudden you find the glory of the Lord and the power of God answering your petition even before you ask. Amen. What's up? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, as this little girl's daddy has failed, he's failed you, God, failed her, failed his wife, failed humanity, failed the parole board. Oh God, it was, we see through the understanding and the mind of humanity, a failed man with no hope, no resurrection, no life. But Father, here's a little beautiful daughter, Father, standing, praying, and trusting, Lord God, knowing that you could reach out and save him from the deepest depths of darkness and hell that he's partaken of as he failed you most miserably, Lord God. Father God, we find no fault with you when you have one to honor and another to dishonor. And Father God, knowing that you hated Esau and loved Jacob, but Father God, this little girl standing before you right now, Father, and we're coming boldly to your throne, Almighty God, asking you, as this little girl standing in, Lord God, for her father, Lord God, that has again failed her most miserably. Father, knowing that you could reach down to the uttermost and have compassion, Lord God. And Father God, we're asking you right now, if you could reach down into that prison there in Georgia, Lord God, and set him free from the perversion and the sickness and the immorality of sin. Oh, Father, we know that you could do all things, Father God. And we're asking you to save his soul, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. Answer her prayer, Lord God. Let her have hope and faith and trust in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep believing, little sister. Keep praying. Things could look real dark. Things could look hopeless, Brother Ed. Remember the message we preached in this church? Amen. We got to know who they are. Amen. Before we can know who we are. And if God can't reach down and set that man free, he will never be able to set you free. Oh, he violated you. He violated me. He violated God. He violated his wife. He violated his children in the most filthy perversions ever even dreamed of by mankind. And he done these things, but God could reach and pull him out of the mire. Amen? He can do it, brother, and that's hope. Amen? And you say, man, he violated me so bad, Brother Rob, I pray and hope he burns in hell for all of eternity. And I say, well, I'll leave that with you and God. Amen? The Bible said to turn them over to the destruction of Satan. Amen? That their soul might be saved. Amen? So you might think, well, maybe that's what I could do. I'll leave that with you also. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. And brothers and sisters, there's been a many people we want to just pray, God, get them out of this place. Rip them out. Amen. But the Bible said you pray for them and love them. May heaps coals of fire on their head. But don't get bitter in your heart and ask God to do something like that, because you might find yourself being that one cast out. The one that spirit doesn't always strive with God. His spirit won't always strive with you. He could cut you off today and you could be twice dead and never have no hope in this world or the world to come. That's Bible. But brethren, you be careful when you start asking God to burn a man in hell. Because I'll tell you what, you might find something, amen, that you don't want to tangle with and hold on to. Amen. I trust the Lord. Brethren, we've been crossed and vexed so many times. But let's pray and hope. Amen. Yes, ma'am. You do. Well, that's no good, isn't it? We just need to give that back to the devil, don't we? You know that? Amen. So we're going to profess healing, okay? And we're going to confess that that old nasty cold will go away. And we're going to thank Jesus, because when he got beat up really bad on the cross of Calvary, I mean, he was beaten worse than anything your little mind could imagine. But you know what he had in mind? He had you in his mind when he done that. You know that? And I don't believe he done that in vain, do you? He done that for you, didn't he? Amen. Give me your hands. Boy, them hands are cold. Amen. Let's pray a prayer of faith, okay? Father, I thank you, Lord God, for these little children. Father, I've seen you move for these children so many times and do mighty things for them. And as their little heart is trusting you right now, Jesus, I know, Lord God, that you're with her and helping her. We rebuke right now this sickness. Oh, Father, as the prayer requests and testimonies were going forth at the beginning of service, so many households afflicted and affected. Father, we rebuke this in Jesus Christ's name. And as me and this little sister stand together, touching and agreeing right now, Father, we're asking for healing to go into these homes into our brothers and sisters and set them free from this thing and heal their bodies. But Father, as this little sister come forward by faith, Father, we thank you that you've met her and that you're touching her. And we thank you, Father, that this thing is behind her now in Jesus Christ's name. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
What a wonder you are.
Hallelujah. As Brother Bo comes up to dismiss us tonight, appreciate y'all coming out this evening. Love you. Bible says to pray always, to pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Brethren, we don't have to be in the church services just to pray. We're in a closet. Without ceasing means while we're driving, while we're walking, while we're working, we can have fellowship and communion going with the Lord. Amen? So be in prayer. Things taking place. We mentioned Sister Janice Phillips and her family ask you to pray. Remember that. Tomorrow you can call her name out. Like I say, you might be on the job. Call her name out. Call her stepdaughter's name out. Her name is Sarah. She'd been hurt. Her daddy was in the ministry. He failed God, failed her. Amen. And the little girl don't want nothing to do with God now because she saw failure. But we could pray that God would heal that. There's been many people been hurt through the ministry, brethren, and we pray and believe. Oh, sometimes think, oh, they're no good. They're of the devil. They're antichrist, you know. They don't believe in God. Brethren, let me tell you something. By looking at some of the ministry of this world, I wouldn't believe in God. Amen. But something happened. Something came and moved into my being and freed me from the burdens of man and the failures of man. Man, I saw a lot of things, Brother Ed, as a child myself. You know? And I could see why somebody think, well, God, where are you at? Just remember that Satan's the god of this world that you're in. And God has put us in a dispensational time of grace. Oh, he'll help you and work with you. But, brother, this world and this body's relative to this. Amen? So don't put your sight on the flesh. The Bible said, don't know man after the flesh. Don't know him after the pain and the agony and the suffering. Know him after the inward quickening of God's Spirit. Amen. Remember, his kingdom's without observation. We walk by faith, not by sight. So this is where we got to come and remember. Amen. So think on the things from above. The invisible things, brethren, are the things that are eternal. And everything that you see with your eyes is temporal. Everything you see with your eyes, everything you see with your eyes is temporal. It's a temporal world. Amen, Brother Frady. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you. Brother Terry Sandy took a picture of this and got a copy of it if anybody wants it. This is just foundational things that we could look at. But, brethren, everything is differentiated. You know, you break down a car, body, soul, and spirit. Got the body. Got the soul, transmission, making decisions, forward, back. You got the engine showing the spirit. Everything breaks down. House, got electrical wires in it, showing bringing in the power. It's hid back behind the walls and stuff. But then we see the light shining forth from the power. Amen. You know, so we start trying to see and comprehend God. Amen. Through all the things which do appear. Amen. They say that most of the power lines that are running around town, 33,000 volts having to do with Calvary. And it goes down through the transformer, hangs up on a pole with a cross on the top showing Jesus. The cross, the transformer to break this power down that it could come into your house. If you pop that 33,000 volts into your house, it would burn it up. And you bring the full unmeasurable power of God into this body, it's going to burn it up. Amen. So it transforms down to come into you and fellowship with you and walk with you and sup with you. Brother Bo, God bless you. We love you. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.